The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
So, good morning. I'm excited about this morning. I'm going to get to recap. And what I love about recapping is I get to present a few of the things, maybe in a little bit different way, in hoping that it catches hold. And so, did this go down? Yeah, it did. Hoping that it catches hold or maybe gives you a little bit different idea that you can put in your pocket and that you can use, that it sticks. And then when we get to the main topic, which is going to be the shield of faith, I know there's a couple of versions that talk about how this could possibly be the most important one. That's not really what it's saying, but I want you to know this is really an important one. Because we'll get into it in a minute, but we really need to learn how to utilize this shield of faith and what that means to us. It's huge. So let me read this morning. We're going to back up just a little bit. Like I said, I'm going to recap just a little bit. And I also like to recap because it kind of builds up to where we're going. I don't want you guys, I want to keep the context. I want to keep the flow of what we're working on. So I'm going to start with verse 2. And it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle. In fact, hang on. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for its truth and thank you for its application. Father, we thank you that you can minister to us through your word. I pray, Father, for the hearts and the ears that are going to hear this message today. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would allow this to hit where it's supposed to hit with everybody today. And I pray for the speaker that you would help him this morning in presenting what you want. We love you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you do for us. In these things we pray. Amen. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Sorry, guys. I actually have this up here, and I'm moving right along without the PowerPoint. Having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth. Jeremiah hit that last week, and we both have. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And then the main verses for today are going to be, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. So the last time I was up, it was very important to me that I do one thing. I'm going to hit it again today. I want to take some of the mystery out of this thing called spiritual warfare. I want it to be something that when we talk about it, you know exactly what your role is, exactly what you're susceptible to, exactly what Satan can or can't do, exactly what the ground rules are, who you have in Jesus Christ, how you partner with him on that. And so this is what this is talking about, spiritual warfare. So what is spiritual warfare? You guys remember? It's why we're doing through this. It's why we're going through this whole series, is to learn how to partner with God in taking ground in your life first. In other words, getting your life squared away and on the right track with God and moving forward with God in the manner that he wants. And when that happens, taking ground for the kingdom in your own life that prepares you to do the same outwardly in the areas of influence that God gives you with others. See, we all have a role. We all can affect our sphere of influence where God has us. And man, when we get to being able to do that, He can use us in other places, and the ball just rolls. But you don't get there taking care of your loose ends first. And the reason why we do this is to get somewhere in the kingdom, and we have to partner with God to do it. It's not going to be done by our own determination and our own self-will. Usually that leads to discouragement, but if we learn how to partner with God and realize why we're doing this, there's a point to why we get up every morning. Sure, we got to go to work. Sure, we got to take care of kids. Sure, we have a lot of things we have to do. But in amongst all that, we're supposed to be taking ground for the kingdom. We're supposed to be putting that out in ourselves first and then looking for opportunities that we can represent. Again, I want to take, it's not mystic. It's just spiritual. All right? So we'll go through some of these verses again. And it's just a reminder, and like I said, I'm going to present it a little bit different. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the schemes of the devil. We actually have an enemy constantly scheming to kill any part of God's glory in our life. That's what you guys have to remember. He doesn't really care about you. If you're doing poorly, He's happy. What He wants to do is snuff out God's glory that resonates in you with others. That's what He wants to do. That's how He wants to kill you. If you guys are not serious about God and about moving forward in your own life, and your witness is inconsistent, the devil doesn't even have to worry about you. You're doing it on your own. But when you start making steps forward, the Satan is going to start scheming against you and his demons. He has no authority over you, but I guarantee he will scheme against you. And what he wants is to snuff out that light in your life that resonates to others. You guys with me? Okay. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, and against rulers, and against authorities, against the cosmic powers. This is a mouthful. Okay? Over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We have to realize that this is a spiritual battle, and it has to be fought with spiritual tactics and equipment. And that's sometimes very difficult for us to get to. When we think about going to war, we usually think about guns, and we think about tanks, and we think about rocket launchers and armies. It's all physical. When Mandy walks little Lola in the morning, she has a little canister of pepper spray with her for big dogs and other things. That's a form of warfare, but that's in the physical. What you guys have to realize is Jeremiah and I are presenting what Scripture says about how to stand, about putting on the armor, because this is not a physical warfare we're going to be in. It's going to be spiritual. And we have to use spiritual tools. And that's what this list is all about. It's giving you actual armament and ways of operating where God can land on that and can help you move forward in a way that maybe you've never experienced before. In other words, we don't find victory over some things in our life with God's help, constantly trying to operate in the physical. It just doesn't happen like that. Let me keep going. Are you guys with me? You have to fight these battles spiritually. They're going on in a realm we don't see. And that's why we don't understand it. It's not normal for us. So some of this may even feel like a step of faith for you to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to stand here on this because that's what God's Word said. That's what it tells us to do. Oh, you might love to fight with your mouth, taking somebody down. You may love to fight by trying to get even. But you know what? We sang this morning, let God fight your battles for you. That's a real step of faith. That's part of some of this, putting on the armor. But again, it's not what we're used to. It's a spiritual battle, and we have to use spiritual tools to win against these forces. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. We're all going to face our evil days, and like we talked about, some are worse than others. Some have worse ramifications for our decisions than others. So we have to be really careful. And having done all to stand firm, listen, you guys, I actually put as many football analogies in this as I could today. I started late. So maybe I didn't get, you know, quite all of them that I could. But listen, we need to develop a good mental game plan. There you go. Game plan based in agreement with what God says about you, to learn to consistently stand well. You guys, listen, today's the Super Bowl. And the reporter that's talking to Patrick Mahomes would go something like this. Hey, Patrick, how you doing today? I'm doing fine. What'd you do to plan for the game today? What's your strategy? Oh, well, I didn't do too much this week. I really need my me time. And so I rested and I stayed home and, you know, I got ready for the big game. And you didn't watch any game film? Oh, no, I just took it easy. And I'm just going to do whatever comes up today. You know, whatever they throw at me, I'll be ready for them. I guarantee for 2 weeks they've been making a game plan. I guarantee for 2 weeks they've been strategizing how to win. Are you guys hearing me? If we get up in the morning and we just say, well, I'm just going to handle whatever comes at me, and it ain't no big deal, and I got this covered, and, you know, I'm not, maybe, you know what happens is that leads to just holes in your game. I'm just telling you. It leads to holes in your game. In other words, what this is saying you need to do is you make a purposeful mental ascent that today you're going to operate in the way that God has said that he wants to operate with you. I know at times it can be comfortable, but you live there. We're going to talk about this. This is where the self-talk is going to come in on this. It's going to be really, really important, okay? But you guys have to have a game plan. There's got to be a reason why you're getting up in the morning. Are you hearing me? Okay. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. You know, Jeremiah did a great job with this last week. The takeaway is make a priority to walk out your relationship with God and others in sincerity, which I fixed that. I didn't fix it. In sincerity of heart and in truth. In other words, you guys, this is the first thing God's asking you to take care of. In other words, if you're going to take ground for the kingdom, your own life has to be put together. It has to be pretty much, you know, going the right direction. No loose ends. That's what it's saying. Jeremiah talked about last week. It means to be ready. And that means you're ready to do battle, and you've got your own house in order. And you're dealing with people and others and God in the spirit of truth. Now, some commentators believe this means only the scripture. When it says this, when it says having fastened on the belt of truth, I'm not in that camp. I think there's nothing wrong with including that in there, but this is actually dealing with how you deal with others and with God. Listen, we had a great study at men's group on Wednesday night about David, and one of his awesome traits was I knew this was going to happen this morning. One of the awesome traits about David, whenever he was confronted, he didn't make a lot of excuses. He was unbelievably incorrect at times, but he was one of the best repenters that God had ever seen. And he didn't give a bunch of excuses. He didn't blame everybody else. In other words, listen, you guys, I'm going to be careful how I say this. There's a lot of people in the church that are full of excuses, and they can't get where they want to, they should be with God because they're full of excuses. David wasn't like that. He wasn't blaming anybody else. He repented of his sins. In other words, he was dealing with God on a honest level. Can you see how, in other words, he fit right into this lesson because David handled himself in a spirit of truth towards God. In other words, he was getting his house in order. And we have to do that before we'll make a difference in our sphere of influence around us. It's huge. So, when it says dealing in truth, it means that you're dealing with yourself. You're cleaning up your loose ends. You're taking care of what God's talking to you about. And it's serious to you. And you're not offering a lot of excuses. And you're dealing with everybody else in a truthful manner. It's so important that we operate like this. Okay? Next one. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And this is huge. This is very simply just saying, you guys have to protect your heart. Because if your heart's not in the right place, you're not going to take ground for the kingdom. Listen, it's very easy to let bitterness, hate, offense, jealousy, hurt build up in your heart, and you come here to church, you go down the road to work, you operate with all this in your heart, and you're saying, and you think you're okay. But the problem is you're really not, you're wounded. And what usually comes out is wounded. And what this is saying is you have to be careful to get rid of that stuff because you're never going to take ground for the kingdom. In other words, let me put it this way. Too much hurt that you're operating with or trying to operate in your heart, it comes out. You're complaining about everything. Nothing doesn't work right. You're mad at your boss. It comes out at whatever you do. You guys, Satan doesn't have to mess with you. You're already doing his work. It's terrible. Here's another Super Bowl, or here's another football analogy. Jim Marshall of the Minnesota Vikings, I don't know how long it was, but there was a fumble. He picked it up and he ran 60 yards the wrong way for a touchdown. And the other team got the score. That's what happens, you guys, when we try to work or represent of the kingdom or take ground for the kingdom, that we're carrying too much bitterness. We actually end up playing for the wrong team. You know what? A little bit of I think we all deal with this. In other words, let me put it this way. If you're carrying bitterness, that's where this dangerous part comes in. If you know it's there and you're trying to do something about it and you're asking God to help you, you're on safe ground. But if you feel like you have a right to your pound of flesh or your right to hold on to this offense, you're really in the wrong camp. And it's very tough to take ground for the kingdom when you're operating like that. And that's what Paul's pointing out. You have to protect your heart. It has to remain soft. It has to remain usable for you to reflect what Jesus Christ wants you to reflect. Okay? You guys with me on that? All right. And shoes, this we got this 2 weeks ago. And shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Listen, you can't give away what you don't have. You cannot. So let's be so grounded in our own gospel of peace, our salvation, that we're able to take it mobile to others. Listen, in the Super Bowl today, you look at every one of those football players. There ain't nobody going to be wearing flip-flops. Right? Those guys, their feet are shod with preparation for what they're going to do today. And what this verse is saying is, just as shoes give you guys the ultimate foundation to operate from, He's saying, let the gospel of peace be that foundation for you, not only for your own foundation, but for you to be able to take that to others. Are you guys with me? Your shoes have to be foundational for you. Your salvation has to be foundational. You have to get that right. You have to be able to operate in that. If you're doubting your salvation, or if you're not stepping into it fully, I'm just saying that doesn't reflect well all the time with others. But man, if you're upbeat, if you handle situations properly, I guarantee there's going to be people saying, man, what's with you? What's with you? That guy did that, and that guy did that, and man, you just took it, and man, so and you're aware and you're reflecting your salvation. You've got it worked out. You know who your king is. Okay. And now we're going to get to the scripture for today. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Listen, you guys, when you start taking this serious, when you start winning in your spiritual walk, in other words, when you start taking ground for the kingdom, and you guys, again, I don't even want to take the mystery out of that. You'll know what that is. You'll have a little victory over something that's been defeating you. You'll have a prayer life that's starting to expand, and it's being poured out on your kids. You're going to see God moving in your family. You're going to see God moving in ways that only He could do. And it's because you're doing this. It's because you're putting some of this in action. That's taking ground. And it's not only affecting you, but it's affecting the other people around you. So when you start taking ground for the kingdom, you will become a bigger and bigger target for the enemy. So big that you might have some fiery darts coming at you. So let's break this verse down just a little bit, okay? In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. I got in all circumstances. When you start being serious about taking ground for the kingdom, Satan will scheme to derail you in any way he can. And you will need to protection over everything in your life. So here's what happens, you guys. I got to be very honest. I struggled with exactly which, I mean, I'm trying to just go in the order that the verse comes up, but I might get some of my ideas going back and forth between two PowerPoints because it's hard to break it up. But when you start being effective for the kingdom and you start becoming a target, what happens is if you got the belt of truth really being applied to your life and you're getting the loose ends squared away on your life, what does Satan do? Maybe you're not the target anymore. Maybe your family is. Maybe Satan starts using people at work to get to you. Maybe their sickness pops up. I'm way ahead of myself because this is actually at the end too. But listen, he will come after whatever he can to distract you. I'm telling you. I don't know where everybody's at here today. So if I don't mean to step on any toes, but if anybody here has developed a habit in their life and they've tried to quit it, it's unbelievable what pops up at, you know, all of a sudden. Like Jeremiah and I were talking about, you know, every time we try to fast on Wednesdays, that's the day the burrito lady has free burritos. No, I'm serious. If you have a drinking problem and you're trying to quit drinking, man, all of a sudden your friends out of nowhere pop up with free beer, right? Happens every time. Or smoking, or cursing, or whatever there is that I'm just saying, when you try to take ground, when you try to make some ground for yourself, There's all kinds of things. I'm just saying, it's not just an attack to get you to sin. It can come from all kinds of directions. And that's what we have to be prepared for. That's what that means. In all circumstances, in some versions, it says in all, above all, in all. Thinking, or some people take that to mean this is the most important one. I don't feel like that, but I know that this is really important to get this down. And then taking up the shield of faith. So here's what I want to point out. The guy on the left has a very mobile, very lightweight kind of battle shield, okay? But that's not what this verse is talking about. The one it's talking about is the one over on the right. And I don't know if you can see it, but there's actually arrows sticking out of the front of them. And this is exactly what Paul's talking about. And my guess is Paul had seen plenty of these being carried by the Roman soldiers that were guarding him. Or maybe he knew about them, what they would do in battle. But these shields were like, in fact, the Greek word is actually where we get the word door from. These are called like a door shield, or this is where the word the door came from. And they were meant to protect everything. They were meant to protect everything. And that's when, let's go back for just a second. See, it says, take up the shield of faith. Now I really am getting ahead of yourself. I'm going to stick on the shield. I'm sorry. But when you start being serious about taking ground for the kingdom, Satan will scheme to derail you any way he can. So all these areas that I've been talking about, we have to be careful that this is the type of protection that we're looking to have through our faith, okay? Not just protection for our heart, not just trying to gird up our loins, but we're asking for protection for us. We're asking for protection for our families, for our situations at work, for our ministries. Oh my goodness, our ministries have to have protection on them. And these are the type of shields. This is the type of protection we want. The guy in the back has another shield that he puts on top. And I don't know if you can see it. When it's put together, there's very little opportunity for an arrow to get through and hurt you. That's what this is about, you guys. This is about developing a shield of faith that you can operate of, because all these little things that Satan would love to derail you about, he can't get to you if you're utilizing this properly or if you understand what this is trying to represent. Okay? Let's keep going. And take up the shield of faith. So I want to focus on the word take up. That means to pick up when you need it. It doesn't mean, it means to take it up every time, to be consistent in taking it up. You're used to it. Okay, I had a little slide here. It means to pick up something back up again. In other words, to lift it back up into position. That's what he's saying. He's saying, be purposeful in building yourself up in faith and in the Lord. The degree of your own faith does actually matter a lot in acting as a shield for you and everything God's given you. And that's where I think this is the most important point of what we want to talk about today. If you don't hear me on anything else, take these next couple of points to heart, okay? Taking up the shield of faith. I got another slide. The point is, we're trying to build up a defense that's going to cover us. And not just us, but cover our families, our ministries. Okay, this big shield's going to do that. So let's look when it says take up. So how do we take up? In 1 Timothy, Timothy was struggling in his church. He was a young pastor, and people were coming against him. And Paul tells him, O Timothy, my son, be strong in the strength Christ Jesus gives you. Okay? And it's not even a New Testament thing. Verses like this are all full of the New Testament, or all through the New Testament. But it says even in the Old Testament, it's probably as frequent in the Old Testament as the New. But look what it says. It says, Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now listen, I know that there are situations that come up that we feel like the Lord's not around. Or we're struggling and we feel like he's a million miles away. Or we're struggling with something and we're feeling like our prayers are falling on deaf ears. I'm telling you, that's Satan's schemes getting to you. Are you hearing me? This says for you to remember who you are and what you have in Christ Jesus, or what you have in this life with God. This is telling you to look, I put this for a reason. Come on. In other words, the degree of your own faith does actually matter a lot. Because I hear some pastors try to discount our faith. Of course, our faith is in Jesus Christ, like it doesn't matter about how much faith we have. But that's just not biblical. In Mark, it says that Jesus left his own hometown and could do no work there because of disbelief. And that's where we don't want to be. And God's got to have something to work with. In other words, it's a partnership. He has to have something to work with. So the degree of our faith actually does matter. It may not work out perfect. We pray for people all the time. We ask for a miracle and healing for them, and it doesn't happen. I don't know why God doesn't, but where would my faith be if I didn't pray the way I felt God was asking me to pray, to have faith, right? We have to do it. And that's what these verses are saying. They're saying, you know what? You need to stir up your own faith at times. This next one I love. This is Paul in Romans talking about Abraham, our Jewish father. I don't know if he was Jewish now that I said that. He was? But the father that grafted us in, okay? This is him talking about Abraham. He said he did not weaken in faith. Well, what's he talking about? Well, I'll just read it. When he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. God told Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a baby, and Sarah laughed. Right, fat chance. And Abraham's like, okay, whatever you say, God. This says that he believed regardless of what he saw in front of him. That's the point, you guys. See, these battles, like I told you, are not done in what we understand. And these battles are not done with what we understand as men and women on earth. They're done through faith. That's a spiritual tool. That's a spiritual weapon. They're done through obedience. That's a spiritual tool. It's a spiritual weapon. They're done through cleaning up your own life and being obedient. That's a spiritual tool. They're done through praying. You see what I mean? These are weapons. These are weapons. These are spiritual weapons. And look what it says. No belief made him waver. I'm just saying that there's got to be days that you have to muster your own faith. In other words, when stuff's coming at you, you have to self-talk yourself into, you know what? I know what the Bible says about me, and I'm going to stand there today. Or maybe you say something like, you know what? This is a miserable place to be with my work. But you know what? God tells me to love him, and I'm going to stand there. And I'm going to do what the Bible says regardless. See, that's a spiritual weapon. How can God not? Let's put it this way. I've said this before. We have to maneuver. We have to operate in a fashion that God can bless. And operating in the flesh all the time is nothing that He can bless. For no unbelief made him waver concerning the promises of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. We can all be there. We can all say, you know what, God, I know you can do this. And I'm going to believe it for my life, no matter what it is. So here's, let's pull it back to the verse now. The shield of faith. This is asking you to take up the shield of that faith on everything that's coming against every part of your life. I don't care what it is. That's the significance of the type of shield. It's meant to protect everything. It's meant to protect your family and you and your ministry and your kids. And you know what? But you can't do it without operating in conjunction with what God says that He has promises for you on. He talks about how He promises He'll take care of you. He promises that He's going to treat you like a dad. And if your earthly dads know how to treat you well, how much better do you think you have it over the, how much better do you think He can do it over you? There's the verses in the Bible that goes on and on and on about what we have in Jesus Christ, what we have in our relationship with God. Man, some of those promises need to be as real to us as what we see in front of us. And that's the hard part. It's a spiritual weapon we have to develop. All right? So let's look at the word faith for just a second, because this is also very important. Take up the shield of faith. The Greek word for this is pisti. If it's a plural, faithful, it's pistos. But look, it says firm belief or trust. I put or convinced. I think convinced is a huge word. In God, springing from faith in the same. So here's where we have to understand. And we have to get this right. There is our... Well, here, let me just read it. This is the action of faith, not the event of faith. We have somebody that accepts the Lord. They've come into the faith. That's an event. That's happened. But along with that has to come the action. And I'm sorry, but we see a lot of people in the church that have claimed that they've had the event, but their actions don't back it up. Let me give you the football analogy. There's going to be a bunch of guys on the field today that have signed a contract on the dotted line that they're going to play ball for Kansas City and for San Francisco 49ers. But you don't get to just suit up. You got to go out there and earn your money, right? Same with this. This is talking about the action of faith. Let me read. We just have to, like I said, we have to get in the habit of our self-talk being really spiritual and good. And I know that may sound like kind of a self-help word, but I think your self-talk is far more important than you think it is. Because last week I just read, what comes out of the heart, so is the man. We have to be careful what we say. But look, I love this song. Listen to this. Listen to the words of this song. This is what you're kind of talking about. I'm going to sing till my heart starts changing. I'm going to worship till I mean every word. Can you see? I don't got it yet. But I'm going to stir myself up in the Lord. That's what David did. That's what he's telling Timothy to do. That's what he's given Abraham props for. Because whatever they, even though they couldn't see God's promise exactly right now, they believed in it. And you guys, don't let nobody tell you that maybe what you're dreaming about or thinking about is too much. It's too big. You know, that's not spiritual. You know what? Don't listen to that. Whatever's on your heart that you want to bring before the Lord, bring it before the Lord. There may not be an exact promise on it, but He loves you. And I just guarantee that He wants to connect through your problems, through everything you're dealing with. You know what? He wants the process with you. He wants that interaction. He wants you close to Him. He wants you relying on Him. So let me finish the song. I'm going to sing till my heart starts changing. I'm going to worship till I mean every word. Because the way I feel and the fear I'm facing doesn't change who you are or what you deserve. I give you my worship. You deserve it. You're worthy. You're worthy. Listen to this. This is the one that always gets me. I'm going to live like my King's risen. In other words, what he's saying is, I'm going to live in the manner that I understand that my King, my Savior, has power over the grave. He has that kind of power. And I'm going to live like that's available to me. Don't tell me your self-talk isn't important. I'm going to live like my King is risen. Going to preach to my soul that you've already won. Some people might say, that's a little charismatic. I'm telling you, I don't care. Some of us need to go there. You need to preach to your soul. There may be stuff that's so big that you're down and you're having a hard time getting up. You need to preach to your soul. And I believe there's got to be a yielding that comes along with this as well. In other words, Lord, you're worthy regardless of what's going on in my life. I'm hanging on to you no matter what. I'm asking for this, but whatever it is, I'm not letting go of you. Okay? I'm going to preach to my soul that you've already won, and even though I can't see it, I'm going to keep believing that every promise you made is as good as done. You guys, there is nothing wrong praying the promises of God's in Scripture back to yourself. Nothing wrong with it. Are you guys hearing me? So what this is saying is, take up the shield of faith that lets you operate in faith with the one you put your faith in. In other words, don't let your faith in God, don't let the faith that you say you have be small. Operate, take the action. Operate in this action of faith in the one that you said you've placed your trust in, because he has all the power. That's what this is saying. This is saying, you know what? Take up the shield of faith. In other words, don't stop praying. In other words, don't stop believing in the one who has all the power to protect you, okay? And here's where this comes into play. Which can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. You and your shield must always be prepared and conditioned for whatever the enemy may throw at you or shoot at you. And the reason why this is important, like I said, look in the front. There's already arrows in the front of that shield, and this shield's protecting the people behind it. As you start moving forward with God, as you take ground for the kingdom, there's going to be all kinds of arrows that are going to be shot at you. And they may come in ways, like I've already talked just a little bit, that you weren't expecting. I want you guys to notice something. It's pretty common. I want to be careful here because I don't want to make this like a rule of thumb. But a lot of times, pastors, their families have issues and sickness. They're meant to be distractions. They're meant to pull him away from what he's supposed to be doing. It's happened in our life. It's happened in my dad's life. There's not only sickness, but there's depression. You guys, I want you to know how demons work. Okay, they're spirits. Sometimes we give them an open door by what we allow in our life. If we've got drugs or alcohol or pornography or other kind of filth, that's an open door to demons building strongholds in your life. But if that's not there, demons are our spirit. And they don't have any authority over you, but I don't know if anybody has felt the spirit of fear. You can't explain it, but they're there. And this is what you have to be aware of. Pastors and pastors' families, or anybody who's trying to live the way they want, can come up against these spirits. There's a spirit of fear. There's a spirit of anger. I think you're actually seeing a spirit of anti-Semitism. People can't explain it. It just is what it is. It's a spirit. And it gets a hold of people. And sometimes people can't shake it. And what I'm saying is, you guys have to understand that when you truly take ground for the kingdom, when you're going to make a mark, you have to be aware that these kind of influences are going to come against you. You might face some depression that you never know where it came from. You might go into the ministry thinking that you're all, I think Jeremiah is going to agree with this totally. You might go into the ministry thinking this is going to be great, and you just face all kinds of difficulty. People who are carrying bitterness, people that want their own way about things, that won't give up issues, they're operating actually, again, out of these spirits that are not part of our armor. They're the exact opposite. They're, like I said, they're operating with the wrong team. But you have to be really careful that when you start moving forward, you're going to find that you're going to come up against issues, that you're going to need that shield of faith. In other words, you're going to need that faith to be able to pray into that situation. You're going to need that faith not to give up. You're going to need that faith to do what God says, regardless of what you see in front of you. You're going to need it. That's your shield. Don't let go of that faith. And it's more than just your faith in your salvation. It's the action of faith. Okay? So listen to this. I'm going to end it. Come on up, Victor. Well, don't give me a couple minutes. Whoops. How do we take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish flaming darts? It's really, it's kind of simple, but sometimes it's kind of hard to do, because one of the things, especially men, one of the things that men do when things get tough is we isolate. We pull back. We don't really talk to anybody about it. And so how do we take up the shield of faith? The first one is to stay in God's word. You have to stay there. You have to believe it regardless of what you're facing. Okay? The next one. Yeah, come on up, Victor. It's going to go pretty fast. The next one is stay in prayer. Listen, you guys, if you have the right relationship with God, you're going to stay in prayer. If you're not, if it's superficial, you're going to fall. You're going to start thinking things like, it ain't going to do any good to pray. I've been praying about it for a year and nothing's happened yet. You know what? Try praying something for 9 years. Try praying something for 10 years or 12 years. And the situation never gets better. You know what's happening in that situation? And maybe you're just not aware of it. You're changing. You're coming more into an alignment with God. You're developing your shield of faith that never gives up, no matter what. No matter what the situation is in front of you, you're not giving up. God loves those prayers, by the way. Even if you're angry saying it, He loves it. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting today. Stay in community. Keep going to Bible study. Keep going to church. Keep going to the women's group. Keep going to the men's group. Go out to lunch with people. Stay connected. the best way, the easiest way we get picked off by Satan and we fail is to get off on our own and nobody's speaking into our life. Stay strong in your belief. That's what this whole thing is about. It's your belief, it's your faith, and your continual prayer and pressing into what God wants for you and that submission and that humbleness that's going to protect you and your family and your ministry. But this shield needs to protect every part of what you are. Everything that God's given you needs protection when you start moving forward. And lastly, stay worshipful and stay grateful. I can't tell you how important this is. Stay in a position that you know who God is and that He's still king of your heart. And that He, no matter what you're going through, He deserves worship and praise. You may not see it right now, but if you'll stay there, your life will change and your heart's going to change and you're going to develop a spirit of gratitude that you've never had before. In other words, let me put it this way, you guys. The stuff that used to just keep you up in knots, God shows you it's not that big a deal. I got a different plan for you. I want you to be strong. He's making you like nails. He's toughening you up. You know why? But He's probably got a role for you in the kingdom. And you're never going to get there kind of being down here in your understanding of how to operate with God. Yeah, He brings you through some of this stuff. But you never lose your faith. And then gratefulness, so important. The best way, it's not even a point of complaining. What happens is God can handle any part of your mess. He can handle anything that you put out there. He can handle it. Ungratefulness kills your heart. Ungratefulness makes it so you won't go to God. Because you're mad and you got to have this and you got to have that. Our hearts have to stay soft. Remember, we can't take ground with our hearts wounded. In fact, what happens is our hearts can get so wounded, we won't even engage God anymore. So I know this is heavy stuff, but it's good. And you guys, you can't let go of your faith. Because the more that you become dedicated to moving forward with God, Satan's going to be equally dedicated to trying to take away that glory in you. And the only way you're going to be moving forward is through taking up the shield of faith that protects you and everything that God's given you. Love you guys. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement of your word. And Father, I just bless this house with your presence and with the help from you, Father, where everybody needs it the most. Father, I pray that you would just move on their lives and that you would help them. I pray, Father, that they would take up the shield of faith, the faith that keeps them protected, the faith that keeps pressing in, the faith that never quits, the faith that never stops regardless of what's in front of them. Bless them, Lord, with that kind of gumption, that kind of stick-to-itiveness. And we thank you for your many blessings. We just ask that you go with us through the rest of this day and this week. Amen.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.